Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Peter Spiegel. We've got a very special show for you lined up today. And I wanted to share with you a little couple news items I came across recently as a jumping off point for our discussion, our special discussion today. And that is that in Madrid, three matadors recently were badly gored during a bullfight, causing the bullfight actually to be called off, which you don't see that very often. The first gentleman, David Mora, was gored repeatedly after he entered the bull ring, and he was nearly killed with a foot-long gash to his thigh, severing his femoral vein, and also his upper arm. He needed blood transfusions and was hospitalized. A few minutes later, a second and then a third matador entered the rings and also were injured and unable to proceed, and hence the whole event was just called off. Now, you know, I don't have much sympathy for these guys, but I thought it would be a good jumping off point to sort of update and explore what's going on around the world in terms of bullfighting and related activities where bulls are tortured and ultimately killed. There is news around the world related to campaigns to end bullfighting, and we could think of no greater source and expert than the illustrious Steve Hindy from Shark to join us and tell us what's going on. Welcome, Steve.
How you doing?
We're
glad
great.
To be here.
Thank you very much for joining us. So Shark, just remind our listeners what Shark stands for, please.
That would be Showing Animals Respect and Kindness.
And that's the group that you lead and you started, I guess, a few decades ago. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been a long time now.
So these injured bullfighters, Steve, it's hard to muster up much sympathy for them, I would imagine, right?
Well, I mean, all you've got is a bull that's desperately fighting for his life. I mean, he's got a group of armed thugs, two of them on horseback, that are, you know, they're slamming him with spears, with harpoons, swords.
Yeah.
You know, do I feel bad for guys like that? They're trying to ritualistically torture an animal to death. All that animal is trying to do is stay alive. And so do I feel bad for them? No. I mean, I don't wish injury and on anybody, but when they get it, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a group of thugs jumping a guy who's coming out of his home or a nightclub or something like that, and the thugs find out, oh my gosh, this guy's a martial arts master, and he kicks the daylights out of him. Do I feel bad for them? No, nobody does. And in this case, these guys are trying to torture an animal to death, and all the bull is trying to do is stay alive. So do I feel bad that the bull is trying to stay alive? Of course not. These guys got minimally what they deserve, minimally.
So you've given us a brief reminder of really the nastiness that goes on in these events. What are the forces, generally speaking, around the world that keep these things going? What sustains the whole industry and enterprise of bullfighting?
Well, I think, you know, we're really not just talking about bullfighting. We're talking about bullfights and rodeos and, and dogfights and cockfights. You know, Cesar Chavez, the late, great Cesar Chavez, he put them all in the same pot when he wrote a letter to Eric Mills of Action for Animals, and he said they're all the same. They're all cut from the same fabric, violence. And there is a side of our society who simply enjoys violence. Now, I'm probably one of them, because I was involved in martial arts for over 15 years, and we would mix it up, and I enjoy watching boxing and football and mixed martial arts, and all of these things are there's necessarily a component of violence there, but the difference is that in real sports, all of the participants have chosen to be there. They actually train to be there. They strive to be there. In the case of bullfights, and rodeos and other forms of animal exploitation, certainly in rodeos and bullfights, the animals are just trying to get out of the arena. That really is all it is. The bull is virtually never fighting. The bull is always on the defensive. The bull, before he ever enters a bull ring, is put into seclusion in a dark place, yep, without food, without water, and most importantly, without the company of the herd. Now, you have to understand, a bull can be big and he's strong and he's scary looking and all this kind of thing. But when you take a bull that has been kept purposely with the herd in all of his life, and then all of a sudden you separate him, you've taken, that's like taking a six-month-old child and locking him in a closet for a few hours. And when the kid comes out, he's going to be a basket case. And the same is true with the bull. And when people see a bull charging into a bull ring, they love to show that scene, the bull charging into the bull ring. What's actually happened is that the bull has just been released from this coffin of seclusion that he's been in for hours. And when they open up the gate to that little case that he's in, he runs out because he's trying to escape. And he runs down the only pathway that's available to him because he's trying to escape. And then he goes through an opening. He goes through a gate that puts him right into the bull ring. And he runs into it. But again, it's only because he's trying to escape. And the bull runs around the bull ring a few times. And if you ever watch him do that, you'll watch it. He's constantly looking to the side because he's looking for the next gate to get out to escape. The bull does not charge into the bull ring. The bull charges into his what he thinks is his escape. And then when he finally slows down a little bit, then the torture killing begins with one group of thugs after another. And in fact, they've worn that poor victim down so horribly. They've stuck him with harpoons. They've speared him from horseback. These spears that are intended to absolutely destroy his shoulder muscles and his back muscles, because those are the muscles that he uses to sling his horns. So it would be like bringing Mike Tyson into a big match. You're throwing a big match with Mike Tyson. Oh, well, whoever faces him, he's got to be a real brave guy. But then they break Mike Tyson's arms so that he can't punch. In some cases, in many cases, certainly if it's a bull that actually could do, even then, they will take and file down his horns. Now, that would be like cutting part of the boxer's hand off. And yet, that is done in bullfighting, because bullfighting is just as corrupt, just as cowardly as the rodeos are in America, where we see animals being shocked and all kinds of stuff going on. Yeah. That's the nature of bullfights and rodeos, because we shouldn't sit too high on our horses here, because we commit so much animal abuse with the rodeos, the American version of bullfighting as far as I'm concerned. But bullfighting is not fighting at all. It's the ritualistic torture killing of an animal that is simply trying to get away. And if you've ever watched bullfights, and I have seen many of them because we documented them down in Mexico. We took three trips and documented as many. We filmed some 36 bulls killed over the course of three trips, because we wanted to be able to show and to know what went on. And those bulls, they're constantly just trying to get away. I mean, they literally oftentimes have to chase these animals down. And you know, they try to make it look like it's a fight. But anybody with half a brain and any common sense at all can see what it really is. And that's why so many people leave the bull ring. You know, the tourists and that, they come in, they think that it's going to be one thing. They think it's going to be a bullfight. Many of them don't even know that the bulls are being torture killed. They think that it's going to be a little dance between the so-called matador and the bull. And all of a sudden they see that the bull is being cut up alive. And the bull, you know, the blood geysering out of the bull's body and coming out of his mouth, and the bulls are crying out, they're vocalizing, and many people leave. But by that time, what does the bull ring operators care? They've got their money. The idiots gave them their money, and it's time that people understand what's really going on.
We're talking with Steve Hinton from Shark.
Put the kill teams in there against each other. Uh-huh. I'll come and watch that.
Okay. We're talking to Steve Hindy from Shark. We're talking about bullfighting, and clearly Steve has some mild opinions about this about this activity, and we're going to get a little bit more into it after the break. You're listening to Animals Today. Stick around.
This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week, right here on the station. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Do you make over $50,000 a year? Are you a full-time W-2 employee? How would you support your family if you lost your job? Could you survive on what state unemployment pays? Plan ahead with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance that brings you up from what state unemployment pays to 50% of your former weekly salary. If your salary is over $50,000 a year, you're a full-time W-2 employee, and you want to protect your family and assets. Call Income Assure for a free quote. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. That's 800-308-2249. See how little it costs to secure up to 50% of your salary with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance. Call Income Assure now or visit us online at www.incomeassure.com/ATM. www.incomeassure.com/ATM.
Traveling in the off-season can save you money. That may sound obvious, but how do you know when off-season is? This is Pauline Frommer, editor of Frommer's, with the answer straight ahead, brought to you by Hotels.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Obvious.
If a hotel doesn't charge you for something, then it's free. Either that or you stole something and got away with it. Say free backwards and you get yerf. When you earn a free night with the Hotels.com Rewards Program, you don't just earn a night, you earn a free night.
Earn one free night for every 10 you collect with welcome rewards from Hotels.com. The obvious choice. Free night does not include taxes and fees. See site for details.
Off-season can vary by destination, but it's almost always while school is in session. Or travel just after peak times, the weeks immediately following big holidays, to get great deals in otherwise pricey locales. And remember, Hotels.com is the obvious choice when you're looking to book a great hotel room at a great price.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking with Steve Hinge of Shark, and we're talking about bullfighting and related activities. Steve made a couple of interesting observations in drawing analogies to American-style rodeo. And, Steve, one thing I'd like you to just touch on briefly is the relationship of the various governments in supporting this activity. They largely want them to continue, don't they?
They want them to continue in Mexico and in Spain, and they want rodeos to continue in the U.S. That's why the rodeos have all these corporate sponsors like Coca-Cola and Les Schwab Tires and many other unethical corporations. Some companies have left rodeo sponsorships, and we applaud that, certainly. Most notably, perhaps, a Trader Joe's. Just recently, Macy's, dumped their rodeo sponsorship in Salinas, California. Now, if Macy's would just dump those furs, that'd be great. But you've got the companies on the good side. They've dumped the sponsorships, and you've got the companies on the bad, like Coca-Cola, who pretend they're constantly whitewashing themselves. But Coca-Cola and Dodge trucks are well aware of rodeo's corruption and cruelty, and they continue to their sponsorships.
Now, in Spain, there was a discussion recently about granting bullfighting a sort of protected cultural status. What became of that?
I'm not sure if they've passed it yet, but there's little doubt in my mind that they ultimately will. And that's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it's similar in Oregon, for instance. Just recently, they passed something as horse tripping, but they included a right to rodeo clause in the law, which is ridiculous. Bullfighting. This is the 21st century, and let's start looking at things for what they really are. You know, if we actually looked at things for what they really are in this world, we probably would have a lot less wars and a lot less all the problems that we have. But we keep, to glorify and to romanticize something as cruel and cowardly as bullfighting is just amazing. And when you want to, when I say cowardly, some people go, what do you mean cowardly? Guys in there with a bull. Well, look what happened when three guys actually got it in the bull ring. Look, didn't they come to see blood? Didn't the audiences come to see blood? But then they saw the wrong blood, human blood, and oh my gosh, we can't have that. Look, you go to a mixed martial arts match, all the blood you're going to see is human. The difference is a guy goes down in mixed martial arts and he can't continue and he's in danger. The ref jumps in and stops the thing. In bullfighting, it's just the opposite. I saw this many times. If a matador was in danger of being hurt by the bull, maybe the bull just sideswiped him or clipped him a little bit or whatever, everybody comes streaming in to help the guy. I'm going, look, isn't this mano a mano? I mean, this is one-on-one. This is, do it, dude. If you got yourself in trouble, tough. Instead, you've got a whole group of armed thugs against one animal who, before he ever enters the ring, has been, mentally and physically debilitated. That's not a fight. That's not a fight at all. And it's amazing to me that Spain, Mexico, southern France, some of these countries continue to cling to this nonsense, because anybody with a heart and, even more importantly, a brain can see it for what it is. I mean, and forget all the Ernest Hemingway nonsense. Look, Hemingway was so much of a coward he killed himself because he couldn't stand getting old. Hemingway, that's who we're going to point to. It's crazy. This is crazy. This whole bullfighting thing is time for it to end. And the same thing goes in this country when it comes to idiocy like rodeos.
You ever speak with any of the bullfighters and try to get into their heads, or is it just too far gone? I think I saw a news item a few months ago about one particular bullfighter who came to his senses in the ring and started weeping.
There was that story. That's an interesting story. I don't know that guy. I've never talked to him. But when we went to Mexico to do the filming, we were posing as journalists. So we not only did we get to know some of them, we were in the rooms when they were dressing. we were there with them afterwards. And as hard as it was to try and maintain our cover after these guys had torture-killed bulls, we did. And in fact, we even went to a bullfighting school. We did one in Mexico. We actually did one in Southern California. And it was interesting because, of course, they have a different perspective on it down in Mexico, or if you went to Spain. They've bought, you know, they've drunk the Kool-Aid. Again, you see the same thing with the rodeo people, where they're coming down generations of this, where they've been raised in a rodeo or a bullfighting family. And so they've just drunk the Kool-Aid. They're so programmed to believe all the nonsense that, you know, to them it's the Bible. And yeah. It really is. It's one of those, the Bible says it, I believe it, that's the end of it. And yeah. And there's no real thought process ongoing. They'll point to
now,
their
there are
stars.
Children in these schools, right?
Oh,
go
yeah.
Ahead, Steve.
Oh, absolutely. They'll point to their scars and they'll say, see, you know, this shows, you know, what I've paid to be in this industry. But you could say the same thing about a street gang that's been jumping people and stealing their money or whatever. Yeah, sure. Now and then a guy's going to pull a gun, or a guy, you find out he's a professional fighter, or he pulls a knife or something like that, or he's got a few friends with him, and you end up on the losing side of that. We don't weep for the street gangs who get the tables turned on them. And I don't weep for killers in a bull ring who get the tables turned on them either. They deserve every bit of what they get. And if anybody thinks that that's some kind of a terrible thing, well, all they had to do was not go into the bull ring to torture kill a bull. How simple is that?
Steve, is there any reason to be optimistic?
When you think about all the time and the money
yeah.
that goes into that industry, that could go into either real sports or trying to make this a better world, it's really, really a sad thing that's going on.
Should we be optimistic about ending bullfighting? There are some regions around the world or some cities who have banned it. How did that happen, and is the tide starting to turn?
Well, I suppose you could say the tide has been starting to turn for a very long time. The question is, how much longer will it take before it's the end of the road for these guys? And unfortunately, you know, it's taking far, far too long. All these animal exploitive entertainments are taking far, far too long. You're going to have taxi drivers or, you know, any number of people say, oh, you got to take in a bullfight. No, you don't have to take in a bullfight. And if you're a good, caring person, you'll be sickened by what you see, and you will have put your money in their pockets. Please don't go to the bullfights. You know, and just take a stand. Just tell them, no, that's animal abuse. I don't involve myself in that. And when they say, oh, this is what it is to be Spanish or whatever, no, it's not. There's lots and lots of caring Spaniards who are desperately trying to stop the cruelty and the cowardice of bullfighting.
That's Steve Hindy from Shark. Thank you very much for joining us on Animals Today.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer. You are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at AIAnimals.org.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Attention homeowners, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I have some important information for you regarding the U.S. government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. We've told you about HARP in the past, and more than 3 million homeowners have already taken advantage of this money-saving program. But there are so many more of you who could be saving hundreds of dollars every month on your mortgage. And Quicken Loans is here to help you save your money. The home loan experts at Quicken Loans fully understand the HARP guidelines. If you weren't HARP eligible in the past, new guidelines could mean that now you are. Give us a call, and we'll give you a Quicken Loans mortgage review. It's simple and easy. And for 4 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com for a mortgage experience that's engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Calls for cost information. Equalizing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
You can't beat the open road, but saving money on motorcycle insurance is a close second. That's why I switched to Geico. Reminds me of the time I switched to a new helmet without a face mask and swallowed a bunch of gnats when I accidentally yawned. Those suckers tasted bad. Unlike Geico Motorcycle Savings, which always taste real good.
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
Okay, where to?
House hunting with this.
My phone?
With the Realtor.com app.
It's going to find us houses in this neighborhood?
Yep, just circle the area on the map with your finger and bam, all the homes for sale in that area pop up.
Neato. Now what?
Make a left and I'll call a Realtor.
Okay, but use your phone. I want to play with this app.
Realtor.com is the most accurate home search site. And be sure to work with a Realtor to help guide you through the process. Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Laura. How you doing?
Good. You know what just bothers me so much, what I saw the other day? I mean, so here we live in Palm Springs in the desert in summertime.
Yeah.
You know how hot it gets here. It's 107 today. People don't realize that the asphalt and concrete, the ground gets very hot when they walk their dogs.
Yeah.
So the other day...
Really hot.
Yes, very hot. So the other day, went to the market, and I'm seeing a person walk their dog from their car to the head of the market, and the dog is obviously uncomfortable, flipping up his legs like he doesn't want to touch the hot ground. And the owner is clueless and is just ignorant to the dog's suffering right there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I see this frequently, actually.
Yeah.
I don't understand where the lack of insight comes along here. I mean, if it's put your hand on the asphalt and it's hot.
If it's too hot for you to walk barefoot on the ground, then you know it's too hot for your dogs. And they really can get injured by this. I mean, bloody raw paws.
So that's a real thing that we see here, unfortunately.
It's a real thing.
But a lot of things bother you about people.
I know. But, you know, also, I do have a lot of pet peeves.
Hey, that's true.
But also, we're in the desert. So with even extending that further. So, you know, people, stupid people leaving their pets in the car.
Yeah.
I mean, even with the windows open.
Yeah.
They just don't know.
Or they are not doing what they should be doing.
They think a minute is okay.
Yeah.
And it's not okay.
Yeah.
Right?
So what other things are bothering you these days?
Well,
I mean, people and the way they treat their companion animals, their pets, these are your pet peeves, I would guess.
Right, that's right.
About people.
Called pet peeves.
Well, okay, hot paws, okay, everyone, I understand that. There's something that bothers me, and that is this trend of people buying dogs that are popular at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And this happens. This happened with the Dalmatians. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, the Dalmatian movie that came out, and everyone wanted Dalmatians.
Yes, and then there's a glut of Dalmatians. They end up in the shelters, and you know what happens to many of them there.
Right, right.
And after that, another big example was the Portuguese water dog frenzy that followed the Obamas getting their Portuguese water dog, Bo. The demand goes crazy after that dog comes on the scene. Everyone wants a presidential dog.
You know, you encourage them, adopt. Then they end up getting a dog. Oh, what dog did you get?
Yeah.
Oh, same kind that our president has.
Yeah.
Portuguese water dog.
Yeah.
Huh. Right. He bought a dog from a breeder.
That's a general sort of thing for you.
Yeah, that is a general thing for me. Breeders, pet peeve, number one pet peeve. Is breeders. Yeah, well, that's just another broken Obama campaign promise, right? He wanted to adopt. Remember, he stated he's going to adopt?
Yes.
And that would have been a huge...
Okay, this is not an
This is about
pet peeves.
This is about pet peeves.
Back on track.
Okay. How about toenail polish on dogs?
Oh, my goodness.
Is that a pet peeve?
That is legit.
Okay.
Right there. Okay.
Halloween costumes, is that a pet peeve?
Okay. So yes, that could be. If you say it bothers you, then it's your pet peeve, and I would say that. And I have to say, I've seen some cute Halloween costumes, some that are probably hazards to the dogs wearing them, right?
Right.
And some on cats. I don't think you want to put a costume on your. Most cats don't want a costume on them.
Most dogs don't want a costume.
But the nail polish. I mean, what does that say about the guardian of your dog? I don't know, but especially multicolored nail polish on your dog's. On your dog's toenails.
What's the point?
I know, that's why.
Tell me why, please.
Okay. Something more serious, I would say.
Okay.
Another, I know this one bugs you a lot, and that is seeing testicles.
Number one pet peeve. Testicles on dogs. Number one pet peeve, right?
Okay, yes.
Or number two.
Well,
okay.
We have a lot of number ones. We're tied for number one. And all the
these dogs should be fixed.
Yeah.
Why aren't you fixing your dogs?
I don't know. There's a thousand worthless reasons.
Right.
And so get it together, people.
Okay.
Okay.
How about biking with the dogs? So someone's on a bike, taking a stroll. They have a leash, and the dog's on the other end of the leash.
Right.
It worries me.
Yeah.
What if the dog sees a squirrel or a rabbit and runs across or...
Oh, no, my dog is perfectly trained.
Right, right, right.
My dog has self-control and is obedience trained.
Right.
So that would never happen. He would never run in front of me either or lunge toward a car.
Right, exactly.
So that's in my view, that's the logic on that. It doesn't make sense. It's, can some dogs deal with this? Maybe. I don't like it. It always worries me. I'm driving by and I do not... have confidence that dog is going to stay on the sidewalk or on the side of the street.
What if the dog has to relieve himself?
Well,
and stop. What if the dog gets tired? Wants to sit.
Well, that's another aspect. I'm glad you brought that up. I think a lot of people with their dogs who are riding don't sort of they overestimate what the dog can do.
Right.
And that, like, okay, and it's 100 degrees, people.
Right.
Where are your doggy sandals? Oh, what do you think about these clogs on the
paws? Oh, clogs.
Some dogs don't want
anything on their feet.
Anything on their feet, right?
Right.
They don't want you to touch their paws. They don't want you to spray. They don't want anyone.
Although some dogs are okay with it.
So if your dog happens not to like Nikes on their paws and you're outfitting them anyway and they are high stepping as if they wish they could kick those things off, that's not a nice thing.
Yeah, but
you don't say, look how fashionable my dog's shoes are.
Well, let's clear this up. That's okay. For fashion, right? And then you have these little protective wear for hiking, and that's different, right?
All right.
But yeah, the fashion thing is silly, especially with the high stepping, as you call it. I like that, high stepping.
Well, a thing that bugs me, here's another tied for first place, I would say. You're walking along, and there is a lonely dog behind someone's gate at their house.
Oh, yeah.
And you can sort of peek through it, and they're looking out with their sad eyes, and they're saying to you, I wish I had a companion.
Oh.
I'm here alone, and I'm in a house, but I would like to have some other companions with me.
I know.
Can I come out and play with you?
And I go up, hi, sweetheart, how are you?
Yes, and they're wagging their tail. They just want a little companionship.
Yeah.
So that bugs me.
And especially when you see them out a lot,
yes.
Like they're just left out there.
Yeah.
You know, and they look so bored and lonely.
So is that another general Kirshner rule I can state here?
Yes.
That all dogs should have at least another dog companion?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. Right. A dog, you know, some dogs are one dog family dogs.
Okay.
Right?
All right. But when you encounter, so the difference you encounter one, you see he or she is lonely.
Oh, definitely.
And you can tell.
Yeah.
All right.
So when the guardians come out, you got to say something.
Yeah.
Hey, your dog looks lonely. How about adopting another dog?
Right. And they say, oh, sure, good idea. I had not thought of that before. Thank
you.
Or they say, mind your own business.
That's right.
Usually get that.
Right. Or I'll get an Obama dog.
Get a water dog? Okay, stop.
Okay. Okay. What else?
You know, the folks who acquire a dog and they are second thing that you hear from them is which breeder they got them from or the lineage. Okay. Or
they're proud of it.
That's right. The pride that comes along with the purchase. And all that goes with that. That bugs me a lot, especially knowing all the excess dogs we have in our shelters, right?
Right.
And also the purebred dogs that are available for adoption in the shelter.
Why are you proud that you bought it from a breeder?
Right. Now,
so I give them that look.
You give them the look.
I give them the Lori look.
Yes. And do they understand the look?
They know the Lori look.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this prideful statements are going to fade away.
It's similar to the breeders or the people that breed dogs to sell.
Yes.
You know, and they find out we're involved in the animal world and we love animals. And, oh, we have a lot in common, Dr. Lori. I love dogs, too. I breed dogs.
Yes, yes.
Ah. Yeah, you love dogs.
I know.
Okay. Is that all the pet peeves?
There are so many more. There are many more. But here's the final one to wrap it up, okay? Elderly person adopting a dog that's much too young for you.
Oh, yes.
Okay? So if you are in your 80s, please don't get a puppy or a one-year-old dog. That's very wishful thinking, folks.
Okay. I have one more pet peeve. I'm going to squeeze in here.
Go ahead.
When you're walking your dogs and you see other people not picking up their dog's business, so you see a pile of poop on someone's lawn, our neighbors are going to think it's us. We do the same routine every morning, right, walking our dogs.
Yes.
And they're going to say, okay, there's Lori and Peter's dog's poop they don't pick up, right?
Definitely. We've been falsely accused.
We have been falsely accused,
man. I don't know anyone who cleans up better than we do.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Nice list of pet peeves.
You can talk to me. You can talk to me. temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Kid, if something in this facility breaks, bends, or bursts, Grainger's got our back. 20 cases of disc springs from Grainger.com, new rotary encoder ordered on Grainger's mobile app, a dozen splash goggles from the local Grainger branch. What more could you want in life? Grainger has over 1 million products for all our facility's needs. 1 million. That's a 1 followed by 6 zeros, kid. Everything we need whenever we need it. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Attention homeowners, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I have some important information for you regarding the U.S. government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. We've told you about HARP in the past, and more than 3 million homeowners have already taken advantage of this money-saving program. But there are so many more of you who could be saving hundreds of dollars every month on your mortgage. And Quicken Loans is here to help you save your money. The home loan experts at Quicken Loans fully understand the HARP guidelines. If you weren't HARP eligible in the past, new guidelines could mean that now you are. Give us a call and we'll give you a Quicken Loans mortgage review. It's simple and easy. And for 4 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com for a mortgage experience that's engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
At last, Nexium, the purple pill, is available without a prescription for frequent heartburn. See those women drinking their iced mocha whatevers? Now they have Nexium-level protection. That guy struggling to text and eat soup at the same time? Him too. Introducing Nexium 24-Hour, the protection of the number one prescribed acid-blocking brand, just without the prescription. New Nexium 24-Hour. Nexium-level protection, now in the heartburn aisle.
May take 1 to 4 days. Use as directed to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
At last, Nexium, the purple pill, is available without a prescription for frequent heartburn. See those women drinking their iced mocha whatevers? Now they have Nexium-level protection. That guy struggling to text and eat soup at the same time? Him too. Introducing Nexium 24-Hour, the protection of the number one prescribed acid-blocking brand, just without the prescription. New Nexium 24-Hour, Nexium-level protection, now in the heartburn aisle.
May take 1 to 4 days. Use as directed to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Hello, welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Hi, Peter.
Lori, how are you?
Good.
Yeah. I want to remind everyone or tell them about our upcoming event on August 16th down in the Southern California desert where we're based, and that is our commemoration of International Homeless Animals Day. It's going to be August 16th, 2014 at 5 p.m., and we have got a couple of special guests, but before I mention who they are, the purpose of the event is to gather to remember and honor the millions of dogs and cats who are killed every year in shelters due to overpopulation. It's our hope that each one of us will be inspired to think about what we can do in the upcoming year to end the senseless killing of dogs and cats.
Very good. And this event is being sponsored and put on by Advancing the Interests of Animals.
Yes.
AIAnimals.org. Check them out.
And our special speakers this year are going to be, first, Bob Ferber. Bob is the former L.A. animal cruelty prosecutor and also a very experienced humane educator. He goes into the classrooms with his little furry friends and teaches kindness and compassion. And also Los Angeles City Councilman Paul Koretz, quite an accomplished animal advocate. So we're really excited to hear what they say. It's a free event, of course, and please go to the website and learn more details, and we invite everyone to come.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah. Now, a story after your own heart about a brave woman in Rochester, New York. She saw a distressed dog locked inside a parked vehicle last week and basically broke into the car.
Good for her.
Now, she took a couple of steps before actually removing her shoe and breaking the window, which not everyone would do, but she went into the store and tried to find the person who was responsible for this dog, and then she also tried to call the authorities, and she was getting no action, at least not fast enough for her, so she took her shoe off and noted that inside the car, the dog was displaying a purplish tongue, she said, staggering in the back seat. She knew she had to act. So she took her shoe off and hit the window.
Good for her. You know, sometimes you don't have time, though.
Yes.
To go into the store and look for the owner of the car and the dog. You don't have time to call the authorities.
Just got to act.
You just got to act.
Yes.
Okay, look, we're living in Palm Springs, California. It's 110 today.
Yes.
Right? Stupid
so
people
cracking
live.
Your window is not going to
do it doesn't do any good. And leaving your car in the shade, it does no good.
Yeah.
No, it does no good. Even when it's 85 or 90, you can't do it. Not even for a minute. So here, no time to look for the stupid person and call the authorities. You just got to act.
So you consider this woman a heroine?
You bet your sweet bottom I do.
Well, the dog's skin was so hot to the touch, the woman was afraid it was too late. They doused the dog in cool water, and it was enough to save the dog. No charges were pressed either for the so-called guardian of the dog nor the heroine. No charges in this incident.
Good for her.
Okay. That's in Rochester. The desert of Rochester. Just imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Sacramento, there is the Sacramento Zoo, and they are making a public request to homeowners to help them feed their animals, actually. And they are asking homeowners to donate tree trimmings and other yard waste, particularly they're interested in bamboo and cottonwood and ash, so they can provide nourishment to their giraffes, zebras, and other animals. So
they're keeping these exotic animals in enclosures, and they can't even care for them themselves. They have to ask for donations from the public.
Well, that's the bottom line, yes. Yeah. It's sort of, you don't think like it's, you know, community coming together to support the giraffes. There are also orangutans and lemurs. They like to eat certain leaves, and they're also river hogs, and a chimpanzee are getting an act also.
They just shouldn't be there.
Shouldn't be there, you think.
In the first place, all these animals, the zoo shouldn't exist.
Well,
we've talked about this.
We have talked about it.
Okay.
So if you're there, well, that's what's happening in the Sacramento Zoo. Would you fly on a commercial plane with a dog, cat, lizard, rodent, or other animal in the baggage?
Hell no. Hell no.
No.
Right.
Well, people do.
Either I take them with me, buy them a seat if they can't go on my lap.
Yes.
Or they don't go at all.
Got it. So you, how do you get anywhere?
In there's no way I would put an animal, a living being, in the cargo area of a plane.
Well, people do, and occasionally there are incidents.
Like lost or stolen.
Or dead,
right?
Well, the Department of Transportation finalized new rules about how to report these incidents. And the rules expand the number of airlines to the smaller ones to specifically report exactly what happened and also covers more species than previously required, just so you can track these things a little better.
Okay.
It's always a tragedy.
Right.
A lot of finger-pointing, I imagine.
Right.
A lot of nothing. And I will tell you that in New Mexico, some hunters are using aerial drones to help them in their pursuits. They have got these drones. They can track them from the ground and use them to move animals around to where they can hunt them. They can use them to harass them. And they have been bagging animals based upon pushing them to where they are with these drones.
And this is legal?
Well, it was until recently when the Game Commission voted against the use of drones to take or assist in hunting protected wildlife. So they're finally come to their senses. According to the vice chairman of the commission, Bill Montoya, it was a growing problem. Under the new rule, the drones can't be used for looking for game, locating it, seeing where they are. He added that it violates this principle that they have called fair chase, in which hunters are supposed to be at some disadvantage in chasing down their prey. So by having the drones, it's like extra bonus. Too much, the deck is stacked too much in the favor of the hunters when
they have
a drone.
Well, you have canned hunting?
Yes.
Is there a difference between that?
No, I think that violates that principle as well.
Right.
Yes. Well.
Okay.
Well, I'm just reporting.
Okay. Thank you for reporting. You know how I feel about hunting as well.
All right.
Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you for tuning in to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.